Are you there for your parents?
How would you feel if some of these our clients are widowed and maybe they don't have family nearby or their family can't come and see them often, but how would you feel if you went a week without a hug or someone telling you that they loved you? I think that's the whole point of the be loving.
Be loving. That's one of our beginner steps to raising your parents. If you think that was a tough question that my wife Phyllis just raised, here's another one. You think you're there, but how do you really know you're there?
Schedule your visits so that they don't feel like they're a chore, because if you make them feel that way, if they are, they know it. And they're not going to open up with you. They're not going to share with you. The whole visit will be rushed. It won't be fun. It's not respectful. They're not going to share with you what's really going on in their life. You may as well not be there.
Raising your parents is not easy. We know that. But it doesn't need to be hard either. We're going to share with you 9 beginner steps to raising your parents that will help you know if you really are there or not for your parents today or tomorrow. This is Raising Rents Podcast Episode 1. Raising Rents is a show about everything you need to know in raising your parents or an aging adult. This episode is dedicated to the memory of my best friend, Tracy Armstrong. Stick around at the end of the show, and I'll tell you why.
Hello, Rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife Phyllis and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us Rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that, because one day she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host, and welcome to the Raising Rents Podcast. Phyllis and I have realized that there are common themes whenever we think about the experiences we've had running a home healthcare agency, dealing with families of clients, or dealing even with our own parents, or when we were raising our own kids. We put together a list, and we call it the 9 beginner steps to raising parents. They're not really in any specific order except step 1 and step 9. Step 1, that's really critical that you achieve it right off the bat. Step 9, that really isn't truly attainable until you've completed steps 1 through 8. As you listen to them, we think the reasons why will become apparent. By the way, this show is made possible with the support of Comfort Care. Comfort Care is a national home care provider, and they truly do help you live your best life possible. Beginner steps to raising parents. Step 1, be good to yourself.
And I've thought about it a lot, because I reflect upon the years when we were raising our 3 children, and it's exactly the same. Be good to yourself. How many times when you're raising a 2 and a 3-year-old, you'd come home and you were crazy. You wanted to get out of the house. You wanted to run out of the house. Well, it's not much different. You're raising your parents and you're just...
That's my wife, Phyllis. Right, she's my life partner and my business partner. And we've had a lot of experiences together. We sat down a couple of times to talk about the beginner steps to raising parents. Once by the pool, in a beautiful Jersey afternoon, having a cocktail or two, and another time in a cold Jersey morning, having some bad coffee. I think you'll be able to tell which is which. Anyway, let's take a listen. Who's number 1?
I guess I learned this from my parents, and like I said, everything kind of is full circle. I always treat you, Zach, you're number 1, and then I'm number 1 after that. If we're happy and we're together, and we're good, then everything else falls into place, and the rest is just easy.
Okay, I was not looking to be called number 1. But hey, thanks, Phil. Actually, the truth of the matter is, we both have to consider ourselves number 1 to be in a position to help others. It sounds a little self-centered, but how can you possibly help care for others if you're not able to care for yourself? Here's a real-life example that Phyllis shares.
A couple that we worked with, we were hired primarily to take care of the husband. They had been married over 60 years, great couple. You could tell that they were just still as in love today as they were the day they got married, and the wife really couldn't handle taking care of the husband anymore, so they hired us in there for respite care for her. Well, she was just this little tiny Italian woman that really didn't want to relinquish giving up care for her husband, and as a result, ended up in the hospital many, many times, just wearing herself down. So she really needed to take the respite care because she ended up not being any good to him, and she would be in the hospital and we'd be helping her there, and then her husband would be home alone. So obviously, be good to yourself, otherwise you can't be good to other people.
You see why when we say be good to yourself is not really egocentric? Caregiver burnout is so common. And for a caregiver to prepare themselves so that they can avoid burnout or at least minimize it, they have to take care of themselves. I'm an Eagle Scout, and I remember when I used to recite the Boy Scout Oath to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. If you don't take care of yourself, how are you going to be able to take care of others? And we're talking not just in the physical sense, we're talking also in the mental sense, the social sense, the financial sense, just your overall well-being. Family Caregiver Alliance of the National Center on Caregiving out of San Francisco, California, has a great fact sheet on their website. It's called Caregiver 101 on Being a Caregiver. They have a section that's called the IRS of Caregiving, IRS being an acronym, I for information, R for respite, S for support. It's a great article, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes that you can find on our website. Resources like the Family Caregiver Alliance are abundant and everywhere. And that's our next step, being resourceful. But before we go there, anything else you want to add, Phil?
Whether it's a spouse taking care of another spouse or a child taking care of their parent who already has a family at home to take care of, it could be tough. This one woman I spoke with last week, we were trying to set up a visit and a nurse assessment, and every time I suggested, oh, I can't have to pick my daughter up from school. Oh, I can't, my daughter, that's when I have to get her from soccer practice. Oh, I can't, my son has a doctor's appointment. So they're juggling children along with, you know, raising their parents now. This could be a full-time job for some people, and you can get burnout. So step back, take a day, take a few hours every day, whatever you can, depending on your situation, and take care of yourself.
Step two, be resourceful. One of my main reasons for creating a podcast is so that I could offer a resource to any adult kid out there who's raising a parent, either currently or will be in the near future. There's a lot of information out there to go through. There really is. And it comes in so many different formats. The web, government agencies, support groups, and people with actual personal experiences who we tend to find are the best resources. You got to do your homework early so that you can be in a better position to make the right decision when the time comes.
The best example that I give a potential client is give them all the information, answer their initial questions, send them our informational packet about our business. But I remind them, when you buy a car, you don't stop and buy the first car that you ride in or that you look at. You do some research. Do some research on us. When I offer to give references from either previous clients or previous clients' children, call them, talk to them. You know, you get someone to do work in your home, you don't go with, you know, a plumber just because they're first in the, you know, when you Google them, you know, you're going to call three of them, call three people, talk to people. You'd be surprised how many people out there are going through the same thing that you're going in, and people love to share their experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. They'll coach you on the questions that they've asked, or, wow, I wish I would have asked this question when I was talking to an agency. And whether it's finding an agency, or if you are looking for a doctor, or if you're looking to modify something in your home, if your parents are having trouble getting them to bathe, you know, there's resources out there that will give you tips on this. Whether you're looking for activities, whatever it may be, don't just say, well, I know my mom. She's been my mom for 50 plus years. I know what to do. You know, don't be too proud. Look and ask for help.
You're going to get overwhelmed with how many people want to help you raise your parents. Or in some cases, it could be viewed as they just want your business. It's a huge industry, and it will continue to grow, making your decision process in some ways even harder. That's why you can't wait until you're told by the hospital or subacute center that mom or dad is going home tomorrow. You need to be prepared. Okay, sorry about the lecturing. I guess I'm a little passionate about this. Speaking of passion, on the bright side, I've met many service providers that are very passionate and very good about what they do, helping you care for your parents. I also tend to find that some of the best providers out there have a personal experience of raising their own parent, and they've been motivated by that. They've created a business so they can help you do the same. This is Deb Halsey. She'll be on a future show. She's created a website called Advocate for Mom and Dad. We'll have a link to her website in our show notes that you can find on our webpage.
It is not common. What you will find is that companies in this space, like healthcare companies, health aid companies, always have a blog on their website. But there's actually very few people that I've run across who talk from personal experience like I do. It came about because I saw my dad through congestive heart failure, and we lost him in February of 2015. And when I realized we were going to lose him, I would lay in bed at night and think, where do I start?
And this is Connie Pizarro. She's a senior advisor who helps families place an aging parent in a safer environment when they no longer can live in their home independently or safely. She cared for her mother-in-law after they found her on the floor for God who knows how long after she had fallen.
I got into this because when we went through the situation with my mother-in-law and we had to find a place for her, we didn't know where to begin, where to start looking. We didn't know the difference between a nursing home, assisted living, adult daycare. We didn't know. And so we just aimlessly went around. We went on the internet. We didn't have a lot of help. And as a result, we ended up moving her three times, not because the place was bad, but because it just wasn't a good fit for her. And I said to my husband, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Connie is also going to be in a future show, and you can find more information about Connie in the show notes on our webpage. Hey, don't procrastinate. Don't pretend it's not your family who needs to worry about stuff like this. Don't be afraid to ask and hear what you might not want to hear. Phil says it best.
You want to hear the good situations and the bad situations. You'll learn something from each of them.
Hey, thank you for listening to Raising Rents. Join us next week as we continue our series in the 9 beginner steps to raising parents. It's going to be a good one. There's one there that we all can work on, and that's step 3, be talking and be listening. If you have resources that you want to share with us that I could post on our website, please feel free to share that with us. If you have feedback or question or a great story you want to share as well, email me at raisingrents@gmail.com, or you can tweet at Raising Rents Pod. Join our Facebook group, Raising Rents Podcast, or just go to our website and you can contact us through there. We'll put your question in a future show, or maybe even have you star in a future show. I look forward to hearing from you. Have a great week. And remember, our parents raised us. The least we can do is help raise them. Talk to you later. This show was dedicated to my best friend, Tracy Armstrong. She was born with Wernicke-Hoffmann disease, which is a type 1 spinal muscular atrophy, the worst of the bunch. She never walked, could never sit up independently, and her parents were told that she will never see her teenage years. I met her in 1980 at a muscular dystrophy camp. I was 18 years old, 260 pounds, and pretty goofy. She was a beautiful 16-year-old and weighed no more than 40 pounds wet. We learned that we only lived a few miles away from each other back at Charlotte, North Carolina, and we became best friends. She might have only been 40 pounds, but what she taught me about caring, communication, love, compassion, and respect, just to name a few, was worth tons. Before she died at the age of 25, she accomplished more than anyone could have imagined, including being sung by Lionel Richie under a spotlight in a coliseum where there probably wasn't a dry eye among the 40,000 people there. She was even a bridesmaid in my big Greek wedding. More about this amazing woman and my best friend on our website, www.raisingrents.com. Tracy, kiddo, I love you. And I miss you. Thanks for looking after me.